WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. I also believe it's on 1460 AM WBMS, simulcasting to the city of Brockton, Greater Brockton. Thank you for tuning in. I cannot believe that it's already the first few days of August. I swear it was just June, like a week ago. But thank you for tuning in. We have a fantastic show this evening, and I actually have a very special co-host who is going to be joining me. Well, I actually have called him my co-host many times over the past couple of years, where I said, you are my co-host. So we said that the first chance we got, when it wasn't, we didn't have to worry about the constraints of COVID. And yeah, we know we're dealing with right now the Delta and the Delta strain. But joining us is Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan. He is my guest this evening, Mayor.
Kevin, I'm here. Can you believe it? I think the caveat was I was the unofficial official co-host.
Yeah,
now
you,
that was when we were on Zoom, though, right?
What was interesting was is when I said unofficial,
yes.
Whoa. I'm the official. So we changed that. It took a lot of ink, but we changed it. So you are the official co-host. You're one of the many co-hosts that we have.
I'm honored to be here.
But you are, again, and it's kind of a Brockton. It's going to be kind of like a Brockton night, per se. Because not only having you here, but we have State Senator Michael Brady will be joining us in just a few minutes right after traffic, and we'll get an update from him. And Brockton is part of his district, so we can chat with him about that. Probably the one thing I would like to ask him about is about one of his colleagues, part of the legislative delegation for the city of Brockton, Claire Cronin, going to be an ambassador to Ireland, right?
It's awesome. It's so exciting. It really is. Not just for the Commonwealth, but for the nation as a whole. And we thank President Joe Biden, and we thank Rep. Leader Cronin for everything she's done. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. It really is.
So we'll ask the senator about that and a couple of other things. Redistricting. It's always a fun word to mention. But then, as we always do when we have a co-host, I'm going to give you some time, Mayor. We could let you have a little bit of time, and we do a little bit of a checkup. I know you do a weekly checkup with the WATD News Department. This gives you, it's let you kind of expand the conversation a little bit more, maybe go and delve into some other areas, a couple more layers to talk about other things other than COVID updates and the latest news and maybe some of the other developments that are going on in the city. Maybe we can tease re-election. We know that's right around the corner. So we can chat with you about that.
Brockton Bar Pizza we're going to talk about tonight, Kevin.
Is that a surprise? We're going to actually have two gentlemen in here who actually do a cable show called The Pizza Boys. They are the actual Pizza Boys. And I kind of call them, and I hope this isn't something that I'm going to get in trouble for saying, but I liken them to other shows we see that go into restaurants. You get a chance to see some of their fare, and it's very much a feature-esque type of a thing, whether you're watching it on Channel 38 or you're watching it on Nessun. There's so many different Billy Costa, where they go in and you sample in the food, and at the end you take a bite and you smile and say, this is great stuff, come on down. And that's what the Pizza Boys is. And they're actually going to be visiting the City of Champions.
They're coming to the Cod.
They're
going to
go
Cafe.
One of the top 10 pizza restaurants. The Cod. It's right up there with so many of the other greats. I don't even want to mention the other ones because we are actually going to have some pizza here from the Cod.
Excellent.
And talk a little bit about it because these gentlemen are actually going to be visiting there to tape one of their shows this week. I believe you're going to make a guest appearance.
Sure.
As is a best-selling author, Dave Wedge.
That's right. Proud Brocktonian. That's right.
Proud Brocktonian. So that's going to be, so that's not necessarily a surprise, but I don't want to tease these folks at home that we're going to be sitting here and enjoying some pizza and talking about pizza. We'll do that. And then we're going to close things out. We're going to end on a high note. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to talk a little New England Patriots football training camp. I know you're a big Patriots fan, you and your boys, the family.
That's right.
We are going to have Keith Sinister One Hayes, radio personality. He'll be in here. Sports guy, as well as the Mad Dog, Matt Nelson, will be joining us. Matt does a lot of call of games here on the South Shore. Big sports guy. He's coming in. And, put a cherry on top, Jerry Thornton, best-selling author, Six Rings. He's going to be calling in and joining us for a few moments to give his take on what's going on with training camp. So that's what we have in store. When we come back in a couple of moments, we'll chat with State Senator Mike Brady. But right now, time for us to turn our attention to what is happening out on the roadways, being brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at brennansmokeshop.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and Hudson, New Hampshire. Joining us is Lisa DeMilo. Lisa, what's going on out on the roadways?
Well, Kevin, there are issues still on the expressway northbound. It's stop and go from Granite Ave up to Freeport Street. Along the way, there's a crash at Neponset Circle. Southbound's jammed from the tunnel to Southampton Street. Then from there, you're slow to Columbia Road. You get some running room. You're back in it from Bryant Ave to the split. Route 3 south, the brief tap of the brakes down past the Bergen Parkway. 93 north is backed up from 95 to Route 24 from an earlier crash there. Route 24 south, that's good. This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, get 3 pints of organic strawberries for $10 through August 4th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members while supplies last. Learn more in the Whole Foods Market app. Traffic on the 9s every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Mallory, this has been, like, the best, worst summer ever.
Why do you say that, Jeffrey?
The weather.
Oh, yeah, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
The boat sure looks great in the backyard.
The retro 1987 Quadrajet 350 Mark Cruiser.
That's not currently working.
What about playing your cousin's golf tournament?
It did not stop raining.
All
the
day.
Entire day. Well, Jeff, at least it was close to the new Brennan Smoke Shop in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Ah, that's what makes it the best worst summer ever. Hudson, New Hampshire, Brennan Smoke Shop.
Your pal Joe Healy just installed the signs.
My pal from high school, Mass Sign and Decal. Well, this is New England, and honestly, I thought commuting to New Hampshire every day in the rain was going to be a big deal, but it's really not that far.
It's really not that bad of a ride.
It's really not that long of a ride to tax-free Hudson, New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in the world. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and as always, proper ID is required. Have
Happy
a better summer.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, we're back here now, and I'm really honored. My friend, Massachusetts State Senator Mike Brady, has joined us. Mike and I served on the Brockton City Council. He was a school committee member, city council, state rep, and now he's in his distinguished 1 of 40, which is the Mass Senate. And, Senator, it's great to see you tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I thank you for Kevin and yourself hosting tonight. We both grew up in Ward 2 in the heart and soul of the city of Brockton as well, and I still live in Ward 2, and we have a lot of great memories growing up in the city. things aren't what they used to be, but we have some good news. And one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is a budget that we finally got passed. The funding for Massachusetts and the Commonwealth is so important, especially for our school districts and the needs that our constituents severely have.
Kevin, one thing I want to just share with the listeners. First of all, we have one state senator in Mike Brady, and we have three state reps that make up Brockton. We have a good state delegation, really dedicated public servants. But an example would be the senator has taken time on a weekly basis to join me, Sue Joss from Neighborhood Health Center, Kim Holland from Brockton Hospital Signature, Matt Heskes from Good Samaritan, to be able to talk about COVID and what's going on, best practices. So Senator and his team have joined us. Originally it was Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 1 o'clock. We peeled it back a little bit, but that just shows what Mike Brady's all about. I mean, he jumps in and rolls up the sleeves and gets the job done.
I would say, how important is that to have a legislator or your legislators, the delegation, being attentive, especially during a time like COVID?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. You know, we work together, we collaborate, local officials, state officials, and federal. You know, Stephen Lynch has become a dear friend to Brockton, right? I joke with the congressman, you know, he was born in Southie, but could have been born in Ward 2 with Mike and I. You know, he gets it, you know. And so to be able to have a senator to get on these calls, you know, Mike and I talk on a regular basis. So it really helps, you know, the city of Brockton, but the senator has a district that exceeds Brockton as well. So I welcome him tonight. And, you know, Kevin, I know there's some great questions we're going to be asking. And as always, the senator will be able to give us the most recent updated information for the listeners.
We should talk a little bit about the budget. I mean, what were you able to gain? One of the things that I think that we like to ask here at this radio station, whether it's myself or any of my other colleagues, especially when it comes to an elected official, and that is bringing home the bacon. What were you able to do this legislative session to assist your district?
Well, we've been very fortunate, I'll tell you, especially during the pandemic. As the mayor mentioned, we were on calls 3 days a week, and it was so bad. Brockton was the second highest hit in the Commonwealth with COVID. And a lot of people suffered. We lost some lives, and it was very difficult. But through Sue Joss, the Neighborhood Health Center, the mayor's office, all of the hospital administrators and the staff, the nurses deserve a lot of credit. They're the frontline workers. But I will tell you, we did a lot of great work to get the vaccines. And but there's still a need out there. We're not out of the woods yet. As we've seen down in the Cape, with the numbers increasing in Provincetown and Barnesville County, we still got to do more diligence to get people vaccinated. And I know there's a lot of questions about whether people feel they should get vaccinated or not. I know some people, if they don't want to get the vaccine due to health reasons or religious reasons, they have a right not to get the vaccine. But we're trying to get everybody vaccinated, because that's why these non-vaccinated residents, and it's not from people from Massachusetts, people touring into the Massachusetts Commonwealth, they go down the Cape for vacations. That's where the number's spreading, because at least we have some good numbers in Massachusetts, but the other states, it's totally different. And one thing we're fortunate in Massachusetts and the Commonwealth, we work together across party lines, Republicans and Democrats, and like the team, and I hate to use the analogy with the Patriots, I know you're going to bring them up a little later, but they won successfully, not just from Tom Brady, but as a team. And that's how we were able to work together with our local delegation, our mayor in Brockton, the select men and women I represent all over the district that I represent, in the state delegation, three reps with the Senate. And I'm one of 40 senators, as the mayor mentioned, but we work across party lines to get things done. So you did bring up the budget. It took a while to get done, because last year we got hit with a pandemic. The first part of last year, things were in dire straits. I felt so bad for restaurants out there. They had to close due to COVID. We did get some grants, whether it be federal or state grants, to help some of the restaurants out, but some did not survive. I know Squires in Hanover, for instance, perfect example, closed. And there was other businesses that closed. But we finally got the budget done, and revenue has increased in the Commonwealth now. So we're able to get over $1.5 billion in new funding for K-12 education across the board in the Commonwealth. This is an increase of $200 million per year, and it's going to be done in a less of a time span than initially, because it was put on hold last year due to COVID.
You're talking about the Student Opportunity Act, right?
Yes, absolutely. In the whole funding, Brockton is going to receive $23+ million. It's great for Brockton, but we got to take care of the towns as well, and that whole chunk of money, $1.5 billion, is going to be huge. We also passed some money for emergency food assistance, $30.5 million. A lot of families suffering due to COVID. The special education circuit breaker reimbursing school districts over $388 million. We got over $154 million for reimbursing school districts at 75% of costs incurred when students had to leave to attend charter schools, which is a big cost that takes away from our public schools. We got $82.2 million for regional school transportation, another big issue across my district, and $6 million for special ed learning grants to help K through 12 students, and $4 million for rural school aid. And some of my district is like Plimpton's more of a rural district. They need just as much help as the cities we represent. So it's been a great budget, finally got done. And then I got some local earmarks. I got $85,000 for the Champion Plan. We still have an opiate addiction problem out there, and that's so important to help out people. I got $150,000 for testing and treatment of chronic bacteria from the Mon Ponce Pond, which is in my district, $50,000 to assist with the Central Plymouth County Water District in operating costs, $75,000 for restoration of project at Forge Pond in Hanover, and $25,000 to construct and develop appropriate and fully accessible playground at the Dennett Elementary School in Plimpton. As I mentioned, Plimpton is a small town, but they still have needs as well. And then last but not least, I was able to get $10,000 for the East Bridgewater Council on Aging and the budget. So those are local earmarks above and beyond the statewide budget.
I would ask you, interesting enough, we're talking legislation here. I know recently the House passed their version in regards to sports betting. I know it's something that's being pushed that other New England states currently have it. New Hampshire has it. New York has it. Rhode Island has it. And I believe that it's now on the doorstep of the Senate. Is the Senate going to be talking about it come the fall?
Yes, I've been a big supporter of sports betting. I don't do it, but everybody younger than me, I'm 59, they are currently having connections in New Hampshire, Rhode Island, where you mentioned. Mm-hmm. The revenue is going to those states, and it's not coming to Massachusetts. We have DraftKings right in Massachusetts. I think it's long overdue. We could have bet last year, even though Tom Brady got traded to Tampa.
He got traded.
Yeah.
He decided to sign a contract.
That's right. Thank you for the correction. But either way, people still loved him in Massachusetts. They would have bet on Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl, and we lost that revenue. We have the football season starting now. They're in practice mode as we speak, and that's revenue we're losing. I don't do it. Everybody I know does it. It would help the Commonwealth. It would help jobs and revenue. And it's great. We got the revenue and the federal government helping us out and so forth. But it's not going to be around forever. And it's not an appetite for new taxes. I know the big thing of the millionaire tax, they call it, that anybody making above a millionaire a year, that will go on the ballot next year.
Yep.
For the residents to vote on, but there's not appetite for people to hit their pocketbooks. This is a choice that people take, just like betting on the lottery. It's revenue for the Commonwealth. It's new jobs for the Commonwealth. And I've been a big supporter of this. I filed a legislation the past couple of years to get this moving. I know there's about six other pieces of legislation in the Senate. It came out of Ways and Means, which I'm a member of, the House version and the Senate version. So the House version went to the House. The Senate version's gone to the Senate. And we are going to be taking up, hopefully, right after Labor Day at some point.
Hopefully, could there be some kind of a decision before the legislative year ends, and then so it doesn't have to start the process over?
Well, as you know, the legislature year goes in a 2-year cycle, so okay. We still have next year, but I want to get it done sooner than later. I did speak to the Senate president and leadership, and they did say that they're going to take it up after Labor Day.
Okay.
I'm a big supporter. I've been a big supporter of it for years, and I think it's again, jobs and revenue.
Jay, do you have a question?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just want to kind of reiterate what the senator said. I mean, how important the Student Opportunity Act for the city of Brockton is, right? I mean, for years, we had filed three different lawsuits in the city of Brockton, disproportionate funding for non-wealthier communities. And so through the efforts of the senator and the delegation, you know, to get that kind of money, it's a game changer. In the history of the city of Brockton in the last couple decades, we haven't been able to hire new educators, but we're doing that this year. And so it's a win-win. And I think that was a great question relative to sports betting, because we are losing a lot of revenue, right? And I want to just thank the senator for that, because we need to make sure that the money that's being spent is spent here so the Commonwealth and the cities and the towns that he serves and that I serve will benefit, you know, quite honestly. That's really what it comes down to. So I think in terms of, you know, the distinguished career of a colleague of Senator Brady's, you know, Claire Cronin, right? She went to public schools, much like the senator and I did. And if you think about, you know, she's a lawyer, she's a state rep, she's the first leader coming out of the city of Brockton. You know, she is really a phenomenal public servant, and Joe Biden tapped her, right, to be ambassador. So I'd love to hear what the senator thinks about this, because I really think it's historic, quite honestly.
It is. It's the first woman from our area that I'm aware of that to get nominated for this position. She's another Ward 2 resident, like the mayor and myself grew up in Ward 2 initially. But she's done very well. To her credit, she's moved up through the ranks, became the majority leader. She probably would be in line after Ron Marial to potentially be the next Speaker of the House. But she had an opportunity to get nominated by President Biden. She was an early supporter of the president when he first decided to run for president. And she got nominated, and she's got the qualifications, as we know, to be ambassador to Ireland. It's a great opportunity for her and her family. And I wish her well, and she's already told us about making a trip to Ireland if we can find the time or whatever. But the tough part for us is we're going to lose a great leader in the legislature. So it's great news for Claire and her family, and I wish her the best of luck. It's a great opportunity. But next, we got to consider of who's going to run for that seat next, because we're losing a very distinguished leader in the leadership part of the House of Representatives for the Commonwealth. So we need to get ready to get prepared for who's going to fill that seat. I don't think anyone's going to ever fill her shoes. But that being said, you want somebody who's going to work as hard as she does, work together with all of us as we all have as a team, and have the know-how and the will to get the work done. And that's a big shoe to fill. I know Representative Geraldine Creedon served the seat before, and I think Louis Angelo, who passed away while in office, mm-hmm. a great legislator prior to that. So, and Fran Mara represented the area. He's a good friend of ours from Brockton. It's so important that we get somebody to get prepared to run for that seat. And with redistricting, this is another big thing coming up. We don't know what the districts are going to look like. The population, the district is based on the population with the census. So we did the census 10 years ago. The new recent census for 2020 just came out. It was delayed because of COVID last mm-hmm. year. So we're going to get the numbers on that probably in a couple weeks into August. I've met with my chairman of redistricting. He went around my whole district, which goes from northeast and through Brockton all the way over to Hanover down to Plimpton. He was willing to visit every town and community. I told him about the history and everything I've been involved with. And the district could change. It's not written in stone yet, by a precinct or two, not the whole district. I'd like to keep things the way they are, because the cliche, if it works, why fix it? But the population in the western part of the state has dropped, so those legislators might be moving more easterly. So I may pick up another precinct in East Bridgewater. But again, we're going to wait for the next year's, this current census to come out, and we'll see if anything changes. I know since the COVID, Boston, their population was increasing. People were moving back into Boston, but now people are looking to get more into rural areas. So we don't know what the numbers are going to be in Boston until that most recent census comes out in a couple weeks.
When I want to go back to the Claire Cronin situation, do we have any idea as to what the process is going to be to once she is has she been confirmed yet by? All right, but that process still has to play out, right?
Yeah, it has to go before the federal delegation.
Right, so she has to be confirmed. Once she's confirmed and she is deemed an ambassador, she has been approved, then you go and you move to do what? Is it a matter of that the House Speaker is the one who will set a date and a time or give an idea as to what will happen?
Well, that's a big question that we still don't have the answer on. As you know, when Senator Ted Kennedy had passed, they had an interim person filling the seat. That person agreed not to run for office later on. And sometimes it's a governor's appointee. It all depends on what happens, and it's too premature to have that answer now, because we don't know, and we don't even know the timeline on when she is going to get she was nominated, but she still has to be voted on by Congress, and then they'll deem a time when she will move on. And that's a big question and a big concern of ours, to see what's going to happen with that seat. And the other thing is, just to let everyone know, the local elections, I know we have the mayor's up for re-election and the city councils and the school committee, the redistricting will not change before this election coming up in the fall. It'll be for next year. So that's another big question. If her district doesn't change, does somebody run, and then is it going to change next year? So there's still a lot of questions we're waiting to get the answers on regarding it comes back to redistricting.
Again, if you're tuning in, we're speaking with State Senator Mike Brady. Here's our guest, and when I say our, I'm talking about, I got Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan is here joining me as co-host this evening as we share this discussion. So, quieter months ahead, do you think at least the rest of August you'll be able to kind of regroup and get ready for the fall? What do you do at this time of year when it's the fall is ahead, just ahead of you?
Well, you always want to have time to get your mind together and all of that, but we are still in session. We may not have full formal sessions the month of August.
Informal,
but mm-hmm. I'm also the chairman of public service. We will have committee hearings on that committee. I'm on Ways and Means and other committees. I know the Public Service Committee also has a breakout committee with the police reform, and we were able to get more budget funding in the supplemental budget, which we just did from last year's budget, and that is more money for police training and police standards and training commission, so there's more money for police out there, which is very needed, not less, and even MBTA oversight. At least the control board is going to have some union representation on there. That's very important to balance it out. You know, there was too much administrative oversight and not much working people on there. So that is so important. But I'll still be having meetings, and as you know, I'm all over the district. I was in Hanson this past week for three different events, an Eagle Scout event, then we named a bridge after a great community advocate, and then I was in there for a meeting with some constituents there, and then I was down at Plimpton and Hanover, so I'm putting miles on the car. It's interesting, in the State House, a lot of things are not fully open in the State House because of the COVID, and there's concern. The legislators are allowed to go in there, but they don't want everyone from the public yet. Sure. Again, they mentioned maybe after Labor Day, but I'm listening to the health experts. I'm certainly not a scientist or a health expert, and there is concerns because of this new variant of COVID that the numbers are coming up. And that goes back to people getting vaccinated. And I know some people don't believe that they should get the vaccination, and they think there's all some scams or whatever. I'm just listening to the experts, the scientists who tell us get it. I got it. I was lucky I got the Pfizer vaccine. I did get diagnosed with COVID last year. Luckily, I didn't have any symptoms, but I was...
You were asymptomatic.
Yeah, but I was diagnosed positive, so I quarantined for those 10 days. I got both Pfizer vaccines, luckily at the Shaw Center in Brockton, and luckily no symptoms. I know some people had side effects where they had a fever or a cough or whatever.
I was tired. It was really...
I didn't have any side effects, but I know some other people did. You mentioned, I think Rep. Claire Cronin had some side effects with a fever from it, but she recovered within a day or so, and I think it's important we get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Excellent. So, just as kind of a teaser for our next segment that's actually on deck, if you go to the Cod, what's your favorite pie? What do you like to get for a pizza at the Cod?
Well, as you can tell, you've known me for a long time, Kevin. I'm not as thin as I used to be. I like a little bit of everything.
None of us are.
Variety is a spice of life. Of course, the regular cheese pizza, and that's no matter where I go. But I like the Hawaiian pineapple pizza there. I like the Greek pizza.
There are people in the back of the room that just rolled their eyes that you said that. There's actually a debate about whether you should put pineapple.
Oh, it's delicious. If you haven't tried it.
I'm with you, but you got to put a little Tabasco sauce on it.
And I like the roasted red pepper and the green pepper. It all depends. I mean, whatever. Like even today, we had an event to honor Louis Tattaglia. I already had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch, and actually there was pizza for us, and I couldn't resist. I had a slice of pizza. It wasn't from the Cape Cod Cafe. It was from another place, but it was a great event that the mayor put together to honor Louis Tattaglia, who was our health inspector for many years, and the Tattaglia family was there, and
sure.
It was a beautiful event.
If folks want to reach out to you, if they're still in your district, how can they do that? If they want to know constituent hours, they have an issue, an item that they want to talk with your office about?
Sure. Well, they can always call the office, which is 617-722-1200, 617-722-1200. Then my email is michael.brady@masenate.gov. And I hear from not only people in my own district, but there's advocacy groups or different groups that may live in other parts of the Commonwealth, but we may be passing legislation that affects all of us. So my office is always available, and I'm very fortunate. I got a great staff, a chief of staff who's been with me from day one, and I've got some new people on board as well.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us. Anything you want to say as we wrap
this up? I mean, you asked how you know, if Mike has some downtime. I was with the senator on two different meetings today. Last Friday, Senator Brady, Senator John Keenan from Quincy, State Rep Jerry Cassidy. We took a tour of Jack's place, which is Father Bill's mainspring.
Oh, sure.
So he doesn't slow down. He continues not just in the city of Brockton, but throughout the district. So thank you for joining us tonight, Senator.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for all your work for the City of Champions as well. And thank you, Kevin, and say hello to your father for us if he's listening. I want to tell him hello.
I will. So don't forget, you're going to have to continue the tradition because my dad's actually in a nursing facility, and the senator was kind enough, because he's in your voting district, he actually sang happy birthday to my dad. So it was very cool.
And I also used to meet him when he worked for the city down at the old...
I thought you were more of a falsetto, though, than a bass. But.
That's true. But I used to meet him at Sandy's Breakfast that is no longer there in Brockton, and I used to see your father when we'd meet for breakfast, so it's great.
Here he is, State Senator Mike Brady, our guest. We are going to step aside. When we come back, pizza. The Pizza Boys. Here at 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
AA. Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of people who have had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Hey, it's John Shea here from Almost Famous Radio, introducing you to independent bands and musicians every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. Tomorrow night, another full show in store for you with tons of new music and upcoming events to let you know about, and we'll be joined on the WATD Tiny stage by singer-songwriter Kimon Kirk. That's tomorrow, 8 to 10, right here on 95.9 WATD and 95.9WATD.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week. Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty. Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15 here on 95.9 WATD.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk.
Hey, Okay, we are back. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. And what's going to be interesting and difficult here is try not to do the Bob Hedlund clause. The one thing that Bob Hedlund was a hell of a conversationalist, but the one thing that always drove me crazy about the original host of Monday Night Talk was he had no concerns about eating while talking to somebody, conducting an interview. So that's going to be the difficult part, because what we have to tease us to, that we're soaking the aroma, is pizza from the Cod. Mayor, what do you think?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, look at this. We got pepperoni.
You live down the street from this.
Oh, my God. Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't have to drive to Marshfield to get this, but this is fantastic. And I want to welcome the Pizza Boys. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
I will have to say, so I want to thank Matt Nelson, the Mad Dog, who's going to be part of the 7:30 segment tonight talking about the New England Patriots. As I asked him, I says, grab some pizza. He goes, oh, well, grab some pizza from Poopsies. I go, how do you have the mayor of Brockton here? Now, Poopsies is on our radar, right? It's on our radar. It's like a Brockton night. And it so happens that the Pizza Boys, and we'll get to that in a bit here, as we'll tell your story, is actually going to be visiting the Cod this week.
Yeah, it'll be our second time in Brockton.
Yes, so we'll talk about this. But how did the Pizza Boys show, talk to me about the concept and how it originated into a cable show.
Well, it was a little over a year ago, right before the pandemic. Well, a little bit of background. Tim has been into pizza, and I've always liked pizza. So I've always gone around to different pizza places. And I was at the Home Cafe in Brockton. And I posted on Facebook that it was great pizza. And Tim texted me and said something. And I said, well, let's do a show or something.
Yeah, you were giving a review on there. And it was on Facebook. And I had commented that, well, boy, that sounds like a cable access show. And I meant for you. And next thing I know, he's texting me back. So what are you doing next Wednesday? Meet me at Lynch's. And here we are.
So I tried to loosely describe the show earlier as to the concept without naming names or naming other shows. But I mean, what is it basically that you do when it comes to visiting a restaurant?
Well, Tim and I talked about, well, back up a little. We're both selectmen in Abington, and we talked about a way to help the businesses in Abington. And when we started the Pizza Boys, our idea was to go and showcase the restaurants, and every restaurant has customers that think it's the best restaurant in the world, and it is to a lot of people. So our goal is not to go out there and rate the food. Our goal is to promote the businesses. And then the pandemic happened, so we need to do that even more so today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I tell everybody, all the business owners, when we meet them for the show, I tell them, this is going to be a 30-minute or so infomercial on your restaurant. So showcase what you want to showcase. And luckily, it's all been really easy, because we just want to show that going there is a good time.
Why is bar pizza so popular, in your opinion?
I think it's because we all raised on it. You know, I mean, all of our parents brought home pizzas from Venus Cafe or Lynch's Pub or Cape Cod Cafe. Yeah. And we were all raised on it. So,
and I grew up in North Quincy, so the alumni. And I remember riding by there, always looking for Frosty Forrestal's car, his Mustang, and he hung around there. And my father would stop there and get pizza for us, and he'd either do that, or there was one over the Neponset River Bridge, downstairs, or something like that, that had great bar pizza, too.
Ups and downs, yeah. They were known for a lot of things, not just their
pizza. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Pizza Boy, so I was wondering, so you've really visited a lot of establishments, and how do you decide, like, what pizza joint you want to go see?
Yeah, just personal preference. I mean, I know there's a lot of times I'll be out and try a place and be like, we got to come back here, and we really got to showcase how good of a time this is, so. It's really easy to pick good places. I mean, there's a list of hundreds that we would never have time to get to all of them.
So you get season one in the books. Where did you visit during season one? What were some of the establishments that you went to?
We started off with Lynch's Pub. We did Venus Cafe. We did O'Toole's Pub in Whitman. That was a really good one. That was, I believe that was our last episode of season one. We also did a new restaurant opened in Abington, Lucy's Pizza Cafe, inside Webster Timber Lanes. So we jumped right on that when they first opened and was able to showcase them. That was a good time.
Now, you made a comment about being in Brockton previously.
Yeah, we have.
So what would you get?
That was Tin Race.
Tin Race.
That was my first time there, and I've probably been back about 10 times
since.
Yeah,
isn't it awesome? Joe Murray's a great guy, and great food, and all the entrees. I mean, their pizza's fantastic, right? But they have just so many samplings you can try.
Yeah, every time I walk in, I hear from the kitchen, Joe yell out, "Hey, Mike, how you doing?" And someday he'll get my name right, but just the fact that he recognizes my face, it makes me feel at home. He's so great to my kids. They get lollipops before they leave. They're happy.
I think what we'll have to do is get you one of those rolls that say, "Hello, my name is," and you can put Tim.
There you go.
So when you walk in, maybe he'll see it. Is it just pizza, or do you try other things on the menu?
What we try to do is have the owner showcase some of their specialties. When we did the Depot, the steak and tips.
Steak tips are great.
Was one of them. We did, not to give away, but Next Page last week, which will be our first episode in season two.
Yep.
It's in the editing room now. But, you know, they had this special meatball sub and something else. But we had lots of pizza, the meatballs.
Chicken tenders, maybe?
Chicken tenders, yeah, that's right.
I don't know how I would know that.
I knew it. When we did Venus, I made them bring out chicken wings because Venus Cafe is the most underrated chicken wings on the South Shore. So we made them, and the Guinness sliders at O'Toole's. O'Toole's, right. Unbelievable.
We also learned how to pull a pint of Guinness.
Yeah,
you don't pour it, you pull it.
I pulled about six of them that night. It was a rough day at work the next morning.
Mayor, how important is like a homegrown shows like this when it comes to promoting businesses?
Yeah, no, I think it's everything, quite honestly. I mean, you know, there's a small group in the restaurant industry. It doesn't matter if it's Brockton or Abington, Avon, Holbrook, doesn't matter, right? And to be able to showcase it and just hear from real people, and especially in light of COVID, right? A lot of the businesses and restaurants have closed or been really hampered. So to be able to have the Pizza Boys go out and showcase and spotlight, I think it's just a win-win for the establishment and definitely for them as well, but for their friends and their family and the people that watch the show. So I applaud them. I think it's a great idea.
And you've gotten a lot of views. Folks follow it on YouTube.
We do. It's produced by Abington Community Access, but it's up on the YouTube channels, and obviously the restaurants push it, and we push it, and Abington Cam promotes it. So we've had a lot of hits on some of the shows, and like Lynch's Cafe said, their business went up 10% after we did the show there.
How does that make you feel?
Great. I mean, we're accomplishing our goal of helping the businesses. Joe Murray said the same thing. Like Tim had never been there before, and we know other people have reached out to us on Facebook. How is it? And we've sent people there and all the places. So I think we're helping the businesses, and like I said, especially since COVID, you know, they really need a little boost. We even tried special quarantine episode during COVID. It wasn't great, but you know,
Zoom is still in its infancy at that time in my house anyway, so
yeah.
The service wasn't great, but we interviewed Kerry Byrne on that,
yeah,
who's also done huge things for the restaurant industry in the area, so we'd like to have him on the show and can actually get him out and
he's in New York
time
now, though, right, Kerry?
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Pizza Boys to New York, right?
Yeah.
Road trip, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you get Tresca's on that list somewhere, don't you?
Yes, and
can we talk about bucket list? You can mention Tresca if you want, but what is the bucket list for the Pizza Boys? You got to have one.
Well, Tresca was one that we definitely want to do, and Alex has been trying to get me to get my passport up to date so we can go to Canada. He's been scoping out places in Canada.
Well, a good friend of mine opened a bar, restaurant, again, right before COVID, and he's got a pizza place, the Tipsy Tomato, and
that's a heck of a name. That's like a good name for a band.
And St. John's, New Brunswick, and he's been trying to get us up there. to do that. But Tresker is definitely on our list because they're doing bar pizza now. And so we want to try that. But, you know, we have Damien's here on the South Shore, Poopsies.
There's still a lot. I mean, and that's cafe. Just the bar pizza. I mean, there's still all the Italian pizza places that we need to
and
get to.
And we don't do just bar pizza. It just so happens that a lot of the places that we've been to has been bar pizza. But we went to the Depot. It's very good pizza. And that's certainly not bar pizza. Billy's.
Billy's was Greek style. And
McGuigan's. Well, McGuigan's was bar pizza, but yeah.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah,
I bet you pulled a Guinness or two at McGuigan's, huh?
That was actually late night.
Yeah, it was.
A good 11:30 night.
And the other thing is, we get a group of people that kind of show up now, which is helping the businesses too. You know, so we got a little bit of a following, and be interesting to see how many show up at Cape Cod Cafe on Wednesday night.
I think the mayor has already volunteered that he will actually be a special guest.
I'll be there with New York Times bestselling author Brocktonian. Dave Wedge is going to join us as well that
the
night.
Dave Wedge.
Do we have to refer to him as the Dave Wedge when we
you
speak?
Do whatever you want?
Okay, wow,
it's your show, pal.
Dave's a great guy, and I've known him for a few years now, and I know him and the mayor are. Went to school together, went to BC together.
Yeah, well, it's funny if you actually talked about the triangle, because you talked about Kerry J. Byrne.
Right.
Kerry was a Boston college guy, wasn't
he? Class of 92 at BC, yeah. Kerry,
Boston
Quincy.
College, yeah.
But he's from the city of Presidents. Yeah, we're from the city of champions. It's a different story, right?
I went to Boston College myself, though. It was for a football game. It was great. they won, so I was happy.
So as we wrap up this segment, gentlemen, I thank you so much for talking about it. If there's somebody who thinks that you should visit one of their local eateries or establishments on the South Shore, or maybe there's an owner or a worker who thinks that maybe you guys should pop on by and do a show, how can they find out more information?
Yeah, please reach out to us on Facebook. Alex Bazance and Tim Chapin, we both have Facebooks under our own name. The Pizza Boys has a Facebook page. So either one of those is a great way to get a hold of us.
And Abington Cable.
Yep, you can email info@abingtoncam.tv. Send us a message that way. But please, recommend places. Let us know where to go. There's so many places around here, we would never think of them all. So.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank
you.
Kevin,
what time Wednesday night so we can tell all this audience that can visit us there at the
gentlemen,
club?
Gentlemen, well, this is their show. What time is it taping?
5:30, right?
About 5:30, yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Cape Cod Cafe in Brockton.
In Brockton.
Don't show up in Raynham or Bridgewater, where one of the other outlets are. You want to go to
the original club.
The Ridge.
Yes, that's what we'll be tomorrow night.
Alex Bazance and Tim Chapin, the original Pizza Boys.
Kevin, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for coming in and having this fantastic pizza here for us to smell. We're going to step aside. That's it for hour number one. When we come back, we put Mayor Sullivan on the hot seat. He joins us. He's our guest here on Monday Night Talk.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD. Streaming online at 959WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
Your customers are coming back in person, and the first thing they see when they pull up is your parking lot. Let the professionals at T&K Asphalt Services prepare your professionals for success. T&K Asphalt handles everything from commercial seal coating to replacing your entire parking lot. No puddles, clean curbs, and perfectly painted lines. T&K Asphalt also supports ALS-1, researching a cure for and supporting those afflicted with ALS. Visit tkasphalt.com to get a free quote.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through. Alcoholics Anonymous is here for you 24/7 at aa.org. Find online meetings at aaboston.org.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Buying, selling, or trading in a car? Learn from the experts how to make the process work for you. Tune into the Boss Auto Show every Saturday after the news at noon on 95.9 WATD. Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We are back. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Coming up later this hour, Keith Sinister One Hayes, radio personality, the Mad Dog, Matt Nelson. Joining us to talk a little Patriots training camp. And hopefully we'll get a couple of calls in to chat from folks who have had a chance to attend camp. I think Keith might have attended one or two camps, but we'll chat with them at 7:30. But right now, Brockton Mayor and co-host. It was a pretty good segment, talking pizza.
Oh, I loved it. We get to sample the product, too. That was a win-win, wasn't it?
Yeah, but hold on. How many years have you been in the city?
51.
And of those 51 years, how many times have you had a pie from the Cod?
Yeah, I couldn't even count. And then I married a fine Italian girl as well, so it's a win-win. And we've sampled many pizzas throughout the City of Champions and throughout the County of Plymouth as well. So, no, I thought that was a really great segment, and it really does help businesses, you know, and that's what it's all about.
What's interesting, we didn't touch upon it, but Tim and Alex, again, they mentioned about being on the Board of Selectmen. I was going to say, nonpartisan pizza, it's, you know. Those funny things, but they do a great job, you know, sitting down and talking with the owners, going in the kitchen, and it's very, very cool, and especially when we're talking businesses these days and talking about, you know, trying to restore life after COVID. I know you had given numbers late last week as to where COVID was with the city. Is the line steady, or are we seeing any more of an uptick after the weekend?
Yeah, no, it's going up, unfortunately. So on July 12th, we had 12 current active cases of COVID-19 in the city of Brockton. Today, August 2, we have 140 active cases. So it's going up. It's it's a situation right now. We've lost 436 residents to the deadly virus, and we've had over 14,400 cases in Brockton. So, that's the sadness. Worst part of my job during the pandemic is at 4 o'clock, I get the sick count and the death count. So the death count has stayed consistent for a couple weeks now, which is great. But we're a little concerned, I'll be honest with you. I reinstituted a mandatory mask policy effective this morning at 8 a.m., which is people that come into city buildings or employees of those, so it's visitors or employees. If you're vaccinated or not, you have to wear a mask. And we're doing it out of abundance of caution. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated. I had the Pfizer, and I wear a mask. And, you know, what this Delta and this variant is real, you know, and this these breakthrough cases are real. So, yeah, Kevin, I mean, it's a challenge, but, I work with the medical clinicians. I have a Dr. Rick Herman is his name. He was former chief ER at both Brockton Hospital and Good Sam, and Rick's been my consultant since the beginning of this. So between that and Dr. Eno Montes, our Board of Health, and Dr. Linda Cahill, who's the head of the nurses for Brockton Public Schools, and our friends at the hospitals, you know, we have the VA, we have Brockton, we have Good Sam, and we have Neighborhood Health Center. So, you know, it's all hands on deck, but it's it's very concerning that these numbers are starting to uptick at a kind of a staggering pace.
As an elected leader in the city of Brockton, I mean, here we are, we're talking about, and I was talking to you during the break about, you know, we're dealing with the Delta strain, you know, and my concern is that we know that these strains mutate. You know, what are we going to see for, you know, the Echo strain or the Fox strain, and however it goes, you know, with the alpha code there, that we're going to see different strains in dealing with it. I mean, we think back, you know, a few years ago when we were dealing with the swine flu, we're like, oh my God. Right. And we thought that was a big deal then. And it petered out, but the coronavirus seems to be resilient.
Yeah, and I really think right now, I mean, as mayor and as a dad of three kids and as a lifelong city resident, the goal right now is to maximize how many people take the shot in the arms. So we're doing our clinics. We actually had a very large clinic today at Brockton High School. And again, Brockton High is the largest public high school east of the Mississippi, sure. Right? So the goal was Pfizer vaccines today and tomorrow, and then 21 days later, and then 10 days, you know, it'll be in their bodies. This is for students so that when they go back to school, they'll be fully vaccinated. And it's not just for Brockton kids. It's at Brockton High, but we open it up to Southeastern Regional and New Heights Charter School and Cardinal Spelman. You know, we're opening up to families and guardians and loved ones and parents and grandparents. And, you know, we've really worked diligently. And, you know, we're hovering a little under 60% of vaccination in Brockton. Then you got to factor in another 12% of kids that live in Brockton that don't qualify because of age. But, you know, we're just continuing. It's a daunting task, and we have the clinics at the asset known as the Shaw Center. We do that every single Saturday. It's Board of Health. Every Thursday, Neighborhood Health Center is up there doing it as well. Every Thursday, we do our own clinic at the Cape Verdean Association in Brockton. So it's just continuing to be diligent and vigilant and educating. And listen, you can't force people. You know, it's a personal choice. But to give them the ability and the education, you know, I took a shot and I was happy. I didn't skip the line. I waited until I qualified for the phase. And I did the right thing, in my humble opinion. But I did it for my own safety, my own health, but for my kids and for my wife and for my family members. And you know, so again, it's concerning to the point where I had to reinstitute a mask mandate for city buildings.
Any feedback from anybody saying, oh, what if I'm this? What if I'm that? Any pushback, or did you get folks who are like going, yeah, maybe this is the best thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, I get pushback every day, right? It's just part of the job. And I have some friends that are still ticked off that I closed down gyms a year ago, and I stand by that decision. And you know, it's listen, I don't want to do these things, but I'm elected to serve every resident of the city of Brockton. And on the books, you know, 98,000 residents, when the census comes out, we're well over 100,000. So the fact that we've lost 436 residents and 14,482 have been sick, you know, I have to do what I have to do, but I'm not doing it willy-nilly. I mean, I'm taking it serious and, you know, and leaning on the clinicians and the medical advice and looking at the data and metrics is key. And so, again, right now, even though there's no classifications color-oriented anymore, if there was, we would have done an uptick from green to yellow in a fast period of time.
Knowing that you have such a great relationship with the current administration, the Baker-Polito administration, have you had a chance to have side conversations with Lieutenant Governor Polito or Governor Baker? Because, you know, it seems like being an elected official and having to make these decisions, sometimes folks don't necessarily understand, except for the folks who have to make those decisions. Have you had any kind of peer-to-peer conversations about, you know, because Charlie and Karen are doing it on a higher level per se, but they're still doing, it's very similar to what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I'll have to say, so I got sworn in January 6th of 2020. So about 6 weeks later, we were dealing with this. But my wife's medically trained. She's a physician assistant. And she had told me about this. I mean, we had heard about it, you know, and it was overseas and then it was in Italy. But, you know, I was able to have a task force meet at City Hall before it even came to the East Coast. It was still on the West Coast at the time. So Marty Walsh, Labor Secretary, when he was mayor, he would do standing Sunday night calls with all the different mayors. And, you know, we just talked about best practices. And the Lieutenant Governor and Governor have been great. state. Congressman Stephen Lynch has been great. U.S. Senator Ed Markey has been awesome. Elizabeth Warren, Senator, has been great. But, you know, listen, at the end of the day, one thing that I did, Kevin, and I know you're aware of this, is I created a regional task force. So I wanted to hear from Plymouth County elected officials, town administrators, town managers, board of selectmen. And, you know, we did this on a regular basis. I also did another task force where any municipality that touched Brockton, plus Randolph and Bridgewater, I wanted to hear from them. So, yeah, I mean, we're all in the same boat right now, and we need to just make sure that, you know, we continue to be safe. We have a healthy community, a healthy Commonwealth, a healthy nation. And you know, unfortunately, it's not going away right now, and we just have to roll up our sleeves and dig down and just keep doing what we need to do.
But it's safe to say that life is slowly returning.
Yeah, yeah.
In the city, you got Prava, which seems like it's a fantastic hit. You've got a lot of development that's starting to come to fruition in downtown Brockton. Talk about how the city center is starting to take shape, the Brockton Beer Company.
Yeah.
Things like that.
No, it's exciting. And, you know, one thing I did do as mayor is I made a concerted effort not to close down construction because of COVID. I didn't. Other mayors chose to. I said, we're not going to do that. We can do it in a safe way. And really, we are benefiting from that. It wasn't just my decision. You know, I listened to other experts, but ultimately I had the call. So if you're in downtown Brockton right now, you're seeing major development going on, major development, millions and millions of dollars invested because of the rail, right? We're transit oriented. We have three stops in Brockton. Sure. Jump on the train, you get in the South Station, 35 minutes. The price point, nothing against these communities, but the price point in Quincy and Braintree and Charlestown and Southie and Dorchester, you know, people coming to Brockton and, you know, you get a lot for your money. So over 800 housing units are in the queue right now. You mentioned the Brockton Beer Company. I support it wholeheartedly. It looks like it's gonna be probably the doors opening October 1st. It's where the old Kresge building was. Yep. They call it Sycamore Grove now, but it's on the corner of Frederick Douglass and Main Street. And it's going to be a game changer. It really is. But, you know, the old saying, right? If you build it, they will come. And we're meeting. I'm walking with developers on a regular basis. You know, I can meet with them on a Zoom. I'll meet them in my office, but I don't want to do that. When they come, we go out and we hit the streets and I show them what the potential is. You know, the canvas is there and now do your painting and let's do it together. So, I'm excited. I mean, you know, the gloom and doom of a pandemic is a reality, but, you know, we're getting through that. Prova is something that's a fun event. It's an open air outside beer event that we do on Thursdays and Fridays. We have the Mayor's Summer Concert that was kicked off last Wednesday. It's every Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30 outside at City Hall. We had Billy Kutu last week, and you know, he's 90 and he's still singing Sinatra like an unbelievable. And you know, we're going to be doing that every Wednesday night through September. You know, Kevin, it's just Brockton is hopping right now. Well, we're not a wealthy community. You know, we're not. So we need to be able to take advantage of the CARES Act funds and American Rescue Plan funds that are coming in. And I've had a lot of federal conversations about the infrastructure that's coming in. And, you know, Brockton and the Commonwealth and the county will benefit from that. I don't know what the hard number is going to be on that. I know on the ARPA funds, we're going to be getting in excess of $35 million over 2 years. The CARES Act, I do want to thank our Plymouth County elected officials, the county commissioners, and Sandra and Jared and Greg and Tom O'Brien, because Brockton will finally realize $18 million under the CARES Act. So I was able to use $1 million to retrofit the Shaw Center, which, if people are familiar with the Brockton Rocks, it's the convention center next door to Campanelli Stadium, and it had fallen in disrepair by previous administration. So spent $1 million. We were able to get CARES Act funds on that, which is great. But then we used it, and we use it to this day for first testing and now vaccines. So, you know, we're just going to continue, Kevin. Keep going. And you know, the old adage that Teddy Roosevelt used to say, do what you can with what you have where you are, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Talking about developing the downtown core, to talking about great guys like Rob May, you're the city planner, and even a bigger piece to that downtown puzzle is a public safety complex. Where's the conversation with that these days?
Yeah, you know, when I came in on that January 6th, one of my inauguration promises was that we have to have a modern facility that is going to be inviting to the general public, but also providing first-class accommodations for the people that work there, right? So we were able to get $98 million bond approval from the city council, and I thank the 11 members. At that time, it was the 11 members. Now it's 10 right now, but $98 million. And so if you look at municipal funding right now, the interest rates, it's unbelievable. You want to cash in. So we did a public, public meeting. It was on Zoom. We're working right now. Superintendent Mike Thomas, Brockton Public Schools Superintendent, is working with me. But it's not just a police station or a fire station. It's multifaceted. So we're going to have IT, informational technology, is going to relocate to this new building. They're at Brockton High School now, so that's going to open up and free class space at Brockton High in the core building. BEMA, Brockton Emergency Management Agency, which has been unbelievable. Director Steve Hook has been great during the pandemic. They're tucked away at the War Memorial on West Elm Street. They're going to go there. So it's going to be police, fire, BEMA, and IT. Fire, when you're talking about the Pleasant Street station that will close, that was wired by Thomas Edison himself.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And it's still operational. So, the police station, has been leaking, and that's really run its course as well, Kevin. So, I'm going to continue to be a cheerleader on that. We need to be able to provide the amenities that a first-class city should have, and that's without question one of them.
Talk to me about handing off the baton. You're talking about a public safety. You actually have sworn in a new fire chief.
Yeah, Brian Ardelli.
Yep.
Brian, it was an honor and privilege. We were there the other day, and Chief Mike Williams, just a great, great guy, a great chief. He retired. He spent so many years as a public servant, and Brian was deputy, and he just got sworn in, and he's a Brockton guy, and he really loves the city of Champions, loves fire services, and he's got a good team of deputies in place as well. And we're very fortunate. We have very, very brave men and women on the fire and police department. I don't have it in my fabric to do that, but I thank God every day that we do have brave men and women, and it starts with leadership, and Brian Ardelli is going to be a fantastic chief, and I look forward to continuing working. I've known him for years. I really look forward to working with him. And you know what speaks volumes is that Chief Galligan, who's retired, Chief Francis, who's retired, and Chief Williams, they were all there for Chief Nardelli.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a big family. It's great. It's great. And Chief Gomes on the police side, Manny Gomes was there as well. So, the thing about being mayor or city council or school committee in Brockton, it's 2-year terms. So, we're all up this year. So in theory, you could have a whole new bunch of elected officials locally. I am running for re-election, Kevin. I feel that I need to continue to move Brockton forward. But we gotta do it together. And so there's really great people running on the city council and running for school committee, and I applaud each and every one of them. But my focus right now is my day-to-day job is to be the mayor. But I am a candidate for re-election, and September 14th will be the preliminary. It's not called a primary because it's nonpartisan. So my Republican, Democrat, and unenrolled friends can vote for me. And then November 2 will be the general election, and we'll see how everything pans out.
What do you think is the big? Talk to me about seeking re-election. Many people see it as, it's long overdue for the city to something to be done with the Plan B form of government, the city charter, changing it where you lengthen the term of the mayor, maybe you tweak the term of the city councilors. That 2 years, you're just kind of getting your feet wet. You're getting it under, and knowing that you, as an elected official, 5 weeks into your term, you're dealing with something that's on historic levels.
Yeah, no, I can just say that, I was a 14-year councilor at large, so I ran 7 2-year elections, right? And I was successful every time. But I've run for races on the state level and not prevailed. So, I think that at the end of the day, the voters did have a change decades ago where they went from a 4-year to a 2-year. I know other municipalities, I know Mayor Koch and Mayor Mitchell, those have been changed. But listen, Mayor Hedlund. So, my view is this. I'm dealing with what it is right now. My focus is to continue to have Brockton flourish financially, to make sure that we have investment coming in, but also having a safe community, making sure that the boys and girls students that were really, education was changed greatly last year, and I applaud the teachers and staff, but, we need to figure out how to move forward, and that was something that Senator Brady was talking about, the Student Opportunity Act, but, it's a 2-year term, and I'm in it to win it, and I'm going to campaign like I always do, knock on doors. outdoors, and it's going to be a little different, I suspect. But you know, I have a great, great support team in Brockton, and you know, I what you see is what you get. My title is mayor, but I'm just Bob from Brockton. So I hope that the voters realize that it has been a daunting task the last 2 years, but it's onward and upward. We have to strive for success and treat it like a business and a thriving business known as the City of Brockton.
Been speaking with Robert Sullivan, the 50th mayor of the City of Champions, talking everything from COVID numbers, latest COVID numbers, to what's going on with for economic development and building out the downtown corridor. We should probably tease a couple of other things. You would mention Campanelli Stadium. There's some work being done there. First off, Brockton Rocks they're playing.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And you're saying they're fantastic. Yeah. And not to mention, you've got Pedro Martinez Jr.
Yeah, his son's pitching. Yeah. So we, I know the Brockton Rocks, and again, the ownership is Chris English, and the general manager is Tom Tracy. And I was up there today touring the stadium for a concert, a Brazilian concert scheduled in September. So, you know, they've had a great season. If you haven't caught a Rocks game, again, it's money well spent. It's so reasonable. It's so family friendly. But it's good baseball. You know, it's good baseball. So you don't necessarily have to drive to the Cape Cod League and go over the bridge and deal with the traffic. You can come to Brockton, Mass, and go to Campanelli, which is you know, a budding Brockton High off of Belmont Street, Route 123. But you know, one thing that has happened, Kevin, over the years is that the stadium and the Shaw Center has fallen in disrepair. And yep. Another pledge I made when I became mayor was, listen, we want to have that stadium. We want to have that conference center up and going. We want to be able to have events and first-class events. So, you know, when the stadium first opened, we had concerts, Willie Nelson and Bryan Adams and Def Leppard and the B-52s and, you know, it was Jason Aldean. I mean, it was great, great venues. And like anything, you know, you have to take care of your assets. So it's fallen into disrepair, but I've committed $4 to $5 million we're going to be investing. So the Rock season, and hopefully they win it all, but you know, it looks like it's probably going to conclude mid-August, mid-month. So we've already had renovations started, and then we're just going to continue once they're out of there to really, really do a deep dive. Unfortunately, it got infested by raccoons. Families of raccoons got in there. Which I didn't know they travel in packs, but they do. So we're working to clean that up. And I said we already invested $1 million in the Shaw Center. So, you know, people aren't going to have to travel outside of the confines of Brockton anymore. It's going to be great.
One other thing I want to make sure that we at least touch upon is a new contract for buses.
Yeah, you know what we did? So, again, I as mayor, I chair the school committee, but I want to thank Troy Clarkson, who's the CFO on the city side, all the patronial CFO on the Brockton Public School side, and, of course, Superintendent Mike Thomas, and all the 7 elected school committee members. We needed to figure out cost containment measures and thinking, you know, fiscally responsible. So, nothing against First Student, but we're going to control our own destiny. So we've bought a fleet of buses, okay? This is phase one. Next year will be phase two, and then we'll have 100% of the buses, so we won't have to use First Student anymore. It's going to save us in excess of $4 million a year. We're going to have our own school transportation company. It's going to be an internal. So we're looking to hire folks. And again, it's a win-win. If you go up to Brockton High right now, I was up there for the clinic today. The buses are being parked there right now. It's exciting. It says Brockton Public Schools, owned and operated by Brockton Public Schools. So, you know, I think it was long overdue. And I really want to thank everybody that has supported that. And, you know, we talked about naysayers. Some people were naysayers. But at the end of the day, it's about saving money from the taxpayers and using it in a way that's beneficial for the boys and girls and for the city as a whole. So this is something exciting, and again, this is only step one. Next year we'll be able to conclude it and control our own destiny.
The other thing that we had teased about was when we had Senator Brady here was ed funding. You kind of happy that we had to wait for any of the Student Opportunity Act funding, because we've had, you and I've had many conversations over the years. A lot of folks were waiting for a version two of the ed reform of 1993. And the Student Opportunity Act a couple of years ago was supposed to be a revamp of that, but because of COVID, it got backburned. How are you feeling as far as coming into a budget year, you know, going into a budget? There were probably a lot of conversations when you're talking budget this year that you're like going, oh my goodness, we're going to have to cut. Was it a better conversation when you're putting your budget together?
Yeah, it was a great conversation. And again, it was long overdue. The cases, and again, I'll put my little lawyer hat on right now, the Webby case, the McDuffie case, the Hancock case, those are three students over a period of time that brought suit and equity and funding. I actually did a thesis paper in college about it. And so now it's coming to reality. And, you know, you're talking in excess of $20 million. It's a game changer. And for the Brockton Public Schools staff and the educators, and more importantly, the students, it's going to be so beneficial, you know, so beneficial. And, you know, I will say that if there's any light at the end of the tunnel for COVID, the fact is we're now a one-to-one school district, meaning every boy and girl has a computer under the CARES Act. We bought them and we got reimbursed. And you know, that had never happened. We never imagined we could do that, you know. So right now we're hiring staff. We're bringing back different extracurricular and sports and programs that have been slashed for years. So it's a good time, and again, Mike Thomas is just a great guy. I've known him since high school myself, and he bleeds and sweats Brockton. So this is a good time right now for public education in the city.
As we get ready to wrap up our segment, anything we haven't touched upon that during your segment?
No, again, I'm just really excited to be the unofficial co-host here. And again, on Wednesday night, we'll be with the Pizza Boys down at the Cape Cod in Brockton. But there's so many fine establishments in Brockton. I just was Saturday at a grand opening in Brockton for another restaurant. So again, I know we're coming out of COVID and there's a little bit of uptick now in this Delta variant. But again, if you haven't visited Brockton in a long time, please come and see us. You know, we're the City of Champions. We're a welcoming, all-inclusive community. And it's really fun to be mayor of the place where I grew up in.
It's worth asking. We asked Senator Brady his favorite kind of pie that he likes to get from the Cod or any Brockton establishment. Do you have a favorite pizza?
Yeah, I like pepperoni. Yeah, I mean, I take Lipitor every morning, and, you know, maybe I have to take an extra one if I pop some more pepperoni. But, no, I like the Roni, and, you know, I like to get the crust a little more charred. And, you know, my kids like the hamburger pizza and the Greek-style pizza. But, you know, there's just so many different varieties. But I also love a nice sub, too. So, you know, I'm not on the keto anymore. I got off the keto diet, Kevin, so I can eat a little of this right now.
Yeah, this kid here has to get on the keto diet. I think you might want to thank Matt Nelson for the. I think he had something to do with the laced edges. As you see them, they're finally.
I mean, the Mad Dog knows how to do it. I mean, he knows how to do the order. So I do want to thank him.
Yeah, he is a bit of a bar pizza connoisseur. So good thing to know. Well, Mayor, you're going to stick around and talk to Patriots?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to step aside, and when we come back, final segment of Monday Night Talk. It's going to be a great segment, I promise you, as we talk.
The weather is perfect for a farm-to-table dinner. Treat yourself to the beauty of the Soul Homestead Farm in Middleborough on Saturday, August 7th, for their local culinary delights and an evening of fun on the farm, a fundraiser for Soul's educational programs. The final menu is crafted just days before the event to ensure the freshest local goodness. Soul Homestead's one-of-a-kind farm-to-table dinner. Find Soul on Facebook, S-O-U-L-E, or at soulhomestead.com.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Adriel Barros from El Shaddai Church in West Bridgewater. We would like to invite you and your family to join us on our annual back-to-school event happening this Saturday. We will have games, food, face painting, and much more. There will also be donation tables with clothing for your kids and teens. We look forward to meeting all of you at 860 North Main Street in West Bridgewater this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. El Shaddai Church, it's all about love.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, we are back as we await one guest who should be here momentarily. Sliding into one of the chairs behind the microphone is Mr. Matt Nelson, who's joining us. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Greetings.
How are you?
Happy Monday.
As Matt is, you may know Matt from his call of many games, and it isn't necessarily just football. Although I think he does do something for semi-professional football, but he is somebody who is, he bleeds black and red, as he is, I think, a graduate of Brockton High School. He actually is wearing his Brockton Boxer Fan Club shirt. But he's also a football fan. And so he's here to talk a little bit about the Patriots training camp. We're expecting Keith Hayes to be here any moment. And, of course, like I said, we have Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, who is my co-host, but also a fan of the New England Patriots. I think we start with the off-season acquisitions. I don't know how you felt, but I was okay with them spending a little over $250 million in contracts to bring in some desperately needed talent.
Yeah, I mean, I applaud. Mr. Kraft was just in Brockton recently, and I thanked him for his selection in the first-round draft pick as well. I think Mac Jones is a good pick, but I also, you know, I love the defense. You know, I'm a defense kind of guy. I played defense in high school, so I think if you look at their the tight ends that they've brought on, I mean, that's a game changer, and I think they're going to be spread it out. But you know, I love the fact that Hightower's back as well. You know, and you know, Judon is going to be a menace down low in linebacker spots. So, Mad Dog, what are your thoughts?
The biggest question right now is J.C. Jackson. Is he going to show up? Or is he going to hold out for a bigger contract?
J.C. Jackson. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, he. The last I heard, he was not happy with his contract because he knows he has the talent to be a number one cornerback.
Yeah, but he also has a number one that's sitting in front of him in Stephon Gilmore.
But is he still sitting in the building? Or is he eventually going to hold out again?
No, I don't know if he's going to hold out. We'll see what ends up happening. But joining us behind the microphone, sorry, poor guy, he walks in here and there's Cape Cod Cafe pizza.
It smells so good.
Everywhere.
I smelled it down the hall.
It started with the Pizza Boys, and it's just been here. Just find your way to eat the pizza when you're not on microphone so we don't leave a mess on these windscreens for the next group of people who have to sit in this room and have a conversation. What Matthew said, do you feel that that's one of the bigger problems for the New England Patriots is a holdout by J.C. Jackson or Stephon Gilmore, or is it something else?
Well, for me right now, I think the J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore thing really has to be solidified and repaired and fixed, and whatever needs to be done, it needs to be done, because my feeling is if J.C. Jackson's on one side and Stephon Gilmore is on the other side, I would say that this secondary will be in the top 10 of the NFL. Mm-hmm. I also think that they'd be in the top 5 of the AFC, and I think they'll be the number one secondary in the AFC East if we have J.C. Jackson on one side and Gilmore on the other side. J.C. Jackson played his butt off towards the end of that season last year. Mm-hmm. I think he finished out the top of the league with interceptions last year.
He had nine picks.
Seven straight games too.
Yeah. So when you take that and you put that on Gilmore's, we go back to, I forget what year it was, when we had Tylar and somebody else. It might have been Darrell Revis before they had that tie gone. But if you're not throwing the Gilmore side, you're going to be forced to throw the Jackson side.
Jackson, stop. Did you say Tylar and Darrell Revis? Because I don't think there
was a spot between Tylar and Revis when we had two solid cornerbacks at the same time. I'm not sure if it was with Revis and someone else, but there was a time where we had two cornerbacks and
Asante Samuel, Otis Smith, way back then.
Asante Samuel and Darrell Revis were here at the same time. Correct?
I think so. Yeah. No.
Because Asante Samuel was in the Brewski era.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Because there was a time we had two good, solid secondary guys.
I want to say he dropped a catch that should have been an interception in that Giants game.
And we need that, because if we have that secondary out there. And I think J.C. Jackson's playing this game. He knows that Gilmore's playing his game, so he's like, okay, well, I finished with the 9 picks, so I'm the best in the league right now. So his agent's telling him, well, you know, this is the best time to make noise, because if they bring and keep Gilmore, they're going to have to keep you. Because, like I just said, they're going to be, they'll be top 10 in the NFL secondary. Hands down, easy.
Your answers, both you and Mr. Mad Dog, surprised me, because I thought it was going to be offensive. It was going to be quarterback situation, the wide receiver core.
That it was going to be. I can talk about that.
I know you can, but my biggest is, you know, we're sitting here talking about offseason acquisitions and concerns. I'd even let the mayor want to, if the mayor wanted to weigh in on this. Again, my concern is what's going to happen. Stidham is down.
Yep.
Right.
Back surgery, 12 weeks.
Right. I mean,
we've got 5 quarterbacks on the roster right now.
We do. That is true. But there's only 2 of them that we hear about.
Right. But I think if we're going to talk about the offensive side of the ball, right? So they picked up 2 tight ends, right? 2 unbelievable, gifted tight ends. They're going to be able to stretch it. Then that Gunnar Osefski guy last year, he came out of nowhere, right?
All-pro punt returner.
I mean, unbelievable. But, I mean, they can use him like an Edelman sort, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I think Cam will probably start the season, right? And we'll just have to see. I mean, Trent Brown being back, I mean, he had 2 lousy years with the Raiders. But that guy's an all-pro, you know? Get him back. And, you know, I'm interested to hear what Keith and Mad Dog have to say. I mean, I love football, and the Pats are it for me. But it's going to be an interesting season. I think it's a turnaround season. I really do.
Are you paying any attention to the noise? You know, these early camps where there's no gear on. It's just, you know, you're in shorts and helmets.
I've always felt week 3 of preseason is when we really know what we have. You know, last year, in the year before, you know, everybody felt the offense was strong, but defensively we ended up being better. I don't read too much into week 1, week 2 of preseason, because you've got a lot of cuts to make.
I think you only have 2 weeks, don't you?
Yeah, so this year is super abbreviated. But there have been some bright spots, like Raekwon McMillan. He came out of Ohio State. A lot of people don't know nothing about him, but you want to know why Bill Belichick mentioned him is because he was drafted by Miami. He tore his ACL, but before he tore his ACL for 1 season, then when he came back, he finished with like 1 game. They played the Titans, and I think he had like 10 combined tackles with 6 solo tackles. Then they played the Jaguars, which is a tough team. He had like 12 combined tackles with 10 solo tackles, and then he messed up his ankle, and then they stripped him off to Raiders.
So he sounds like Rozai Dowling.
Raiders didn't do anything with him, and now he ends up with the Patriots. It's guys like that who end up being hungry, and if they can stay healthy, they can perform. Bill Belichick doesn't come out and mention guys unless they're really overachieving. And when he came out and said this about this kid, who I've been kind of watching before, I'm definitely going to keep my, because we need help at that linebacker spot. We don't have a guy that can make those tackles and stop that run. I think if we got a guy like that and then a serious pass rusher, I think this defense is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Offensively, I think it's just like you said. I think Cam Newton is here. I think it's his job to lose. I'm predicting week 4. If he throws too many picks, makes bad decisions by week 4, I think the Mac Jones era will start.
Are we all kind of focusing on week 4? We all kind of like, if week 4 could be here now and just get it over with.
No, you got to build up to it. I mean, just going back to the defensive conversation, don't forget, Patriots got back Kyle Van Noy from Miami.
Right.
Who's on the pup list right now, though.
But
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But I see him filling the hole of Patrick Chung up the middle. At least when it comes to run
Josh
defense.
Josh Uche, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Josh Uche.
Yeah,
you hear big things about Uche.
Yeah.
Uche is going to be off the charts. Now, have you had a chance to go to any camp?
I'm actually scheduled to go to camp next Monday. Tuesday is going to be the first camp that they're going to hold inside the stadium. So Tuesday and Friday of next week, it's for season ticket holders only. So I'm going to try to maybe get down there Tuesday before my show. They get down there and just be able to kind of see things. I haven't been a fan of training camp. I used to go to training camp back when they were in Smithfield, Rhode Island, where you could meet the players and see the players, spend time and talk with the players. But once they went to the Super Bowl against Green Bay, you know, it became superstardom down there, and, you know, it's, I mean, you can't hate it, what Kraft did, but it's all for a show now.
That was great, though, back in the day, kid. My father used to take me to Bryant College, right? And mm-hmm. Steve Grogan and Tippett and Steve Nelson. They were just walking around talking to you. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Blue-collar guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much, but I mean, six trophies will do that to you.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
where
yeah.
you know, it's you've built up a dynasty. This is an organization that's, you know, that they're not just flailing and hoping to get lucky. That they have seen success, and I think they're trying to regain that step. And knowing that your star quarterback from, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, decides to sign with another team. And not take, you know, the offer that you had on the table for X amount, and is actually out there. He's charged to want to prove something. I'm looking forward to week 4, and it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. I think that as you guys have mentioned, the Patriots defense is going to be. I think that's going to be the calling card for the almost like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, where you had a schmo under center for quarterback, and it was the defense. The defense was just killer.
But one of the things that we do know here, and we're all Pats fans, we've all followed Tom Brady's career. The thing we know is that, and it's simple theory. He doesn't like pressure. Every game that we've seen in the 20 years that he was successful here, every game where he has failed or had a bad game, it was a game where they've kept the pressure on him. Yep. When teams let off that pressure, he comes back. He'll win it in the end. Teams and games where they have pressured him for 4 quarters, those are the games where he makes bad decisions. And Bill Belichick knows that. He knows that. And when you look at how they've drafted this defense and how they've put this defense together, it's to get the quarterback.
You mean like that New Orleans game last year where New Orleans skunked them, and they were on him. They chased him all over the field.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't that also the rumor of there was a gate from that game? Supposedly there was a hit put out. And isn't that why Sean did part of a season of suspension, if I'm not correct? Mr. Payton.
You think so?
Saints, yeah.
No, not for.
I believe so. I believe it was for putting hits out. We'll have to check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what that was.
But you're talking about prior years. We're not talking about last year.
That was one of the games prior. There was one of those games where the Saints went after Brady hard, and that was part of that deal. So.
Definitely interesting. Well, you know, one of the things that the Patriots, it was surprising. I was surprised that they not only went after one tight end, but they scored two.
Yeah.
Two of the two top ends.
Number two and number three.
Jonah Smith and Hunter Henry. How do these guys work out? Mayor, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, I think it goes back to Hernandez and Gronk. I think they can split them out that way. I really do. I mean, I think you don't need to be able to throw the ball deep if you have these guys, right? I mean, they're catching and running and blocking tight ends. So it's all encompassing, you know? And I think another thing that speaks volumes is they got Trent Brown back, right? They got Karras back. Karras came back. Teddy Karras came back, you know? So we have some great offensive linemen. And again, if you are able to split it and you have a two tight end formation, I mean, good things are going to happen. Never mind the running backs. I mean, we're stacked with running backs right now.
With
you know?
Good hands.
Yeah.
Our running backs have good hands, and that's the
even,
key right
even,
there.
Even Sony Michel? Even Sony Michel?
But White came back, and that's all we need,
yeah,
right? That's all we need.
Yeah.
He could have left.
No argument there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a really good feeling about Jakobi Meyers this year. I think this is his year to shine. And I also think, and I know a lot of people are unhappy, don't like this guy at all. I think he just got a bad rap. N'Keal Harry, you know, he asked for a trade, and I ripped him apart. I said he should have never did that.
His agent asked for the trade.
Yes, but again, when you look at N'Keal Harry, he got drafted here. He got injured. He really didn't come back to like week 10. Week 10, he showed some glimpses of being a good player. But again, it was week 10. Then COVID hit, and I feel like anybody who did anything wrong or didn't perform under COVID, I think should kind of get a pass. And when you look at this team and where it was last year, N'Keal Harry was really the only one out there that could be a target because you lost Edelman, so that took away the slot. Cam was playing injured, so he couldn't go deep. And what they did was is they just doubled up on N'Keal Harry, and then they kept that safety to watch that slot because there was nobody in the slot. So, of course, N'Keal Harry's numbers were going to be horrible last year. So I feel like, let's give the guy another chance. Let's see if he performs. Because to be honest, with that two tight end set, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry should flourish this season. If he doesn't, then I agree. He's gone. Get rid of him. But I think he should flourish under this offensive system this year. Big time.
So I think Harry, no excuse. I think he's going to get replaced by Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, but even Nelson Aguilar comes with
certainly has his issues.
Yeah,
you know, Eagles fans.
My son already said he would stick with N'Keal Harry over Nelson. My son's a diehard Eagles fan.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see whose job this loose. And like I said, it's going to be interesting. But I think I'm giving N'Keal Harry another shot.
So we're sitting here. We're ogling over Hunter Henry and Jonah Smith. What about Dalton Keene? What about Devin Asiasi? You know, the two guys that you drafted in, what, the third and fourth round last year, or the second and third round? You these are guys in the middle of the draft that you were hoping would help you.
Well, I think I make Keene a fullback. I make him a fullback in short yardage. You know what I mean? He's got hands. He's a gifted athlete. I wouldn't cut those guys, you know. I mean, maybe don't keep both of them because you don't need.
You still
got
Matt Lacoste too. Yeah, he's still on the team.
I'd get rid of that guy, but you know, I think what you have right now is you have some skilled football players, right? And you have the best coach in the history of the NFL. So things are going to fall into place, and I agree with Keith said. I think week four is going to be the game changer. You know, and maybe we'll have Mac Jones ever starting then. Maybe we won't. I don't know.
We did have a saying when me and Kevin used to do Crashing the Big Field. We always felt that week four was when you separated the pretenders from the contenders. Because around week four is when you really start to see teams know what they have as far as coaching staff, as far as players gelling as a unit. Me and Kevin have always said week four, and we've been dead on ever since. It's always been that week four. Remember, Pats came out 1 year. They lost week one. Everybody, they lost that game to Kansas City. Everybody had wrote them off. And then what happened after week four? They went on an absolute tear after week four and went to the Super Bowl.
You got a discount. You got a discount September. September, you know, teams like Cincinnati care about September football.
And how many times have we seen Buffalo 4-0?
Yeah.
And completely tank for the rest of the season.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And again, you're tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD as we have Keith Hayes, radio personality with Hoopazoo.com. We have the Mad Dog, Matt Nelson, who is here with local broadcaster extraordinaire. And, of course, my co-host for the evening, Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, 50th mayor of the city of champions. Although I have to say, I'm hearing more like Boston making comments, like city of Boston calling themselves the city of champs.
But we won that in the lawsuit, didn't we? Didn't we legally win the rights to use that name, if I'm not mistaken?
You know who might know that answer? And that's the gentleman who is a best-selling author. Author of Six Rings, the one and only Jerry Thornton joins us. Jerry, how are you, Jerry?
Hey, great. It's great to talk to you guys. As far as Boston's right to call themselves the City of Champions, like, look, 12 in four different sports over 20 years, if that doesn't give us the absolute right, then, you know, we just disband the courts. You know, we just like Henry VIII, we just say, no, we are assuming absolute power. At some point, like, we've earned the right to call ourselves the Netherlands, if that's how we feel, because we have had one continuous loop of duck boats from 2001 to 2018, and I am not convinced that it's over.
So Jerry, are you saying that you will not trade in the duck boat parades for the parades on the, you know, the parades, you know, of boats that we see in the waters down in Tampa?
Okay, now that's a sore spot for me. Thank you, Kevin. Like, that's a wound that hasn't healed. I really appreciate you, like, picking up the grinder of Himalayan insult and jamming it right into
there.
Oh, yeah, I know. I still struggle mightily, as you well know, because we talk a lot on a daily basis with the quarterback of the Bucs and how he left us a year and a half or so ago at 8:30 in the morning on March 17th, or as I call it, Irish Christmas. Worst holiday ever. But you know what? The future is looking up for us, by golly.
Well, Jerry, while we have you for a couple of moments here, you've had a chance to get a bird's eye view of what's happening down at Patriots camp. I get it that they're wearing helmets and shorts, but what are you seeing with your eyes, whether you're following the quarterback competition or how the defense is holding up? Give us your thoughts.
Okay, so far 90% of this camp is that. It's the quarterback competition. It's Cam versus Mac, or as I like to call it, the palindrome war. And I'm just utterly fascinated by it. I'm going tomorrow because they're going to be in pads so we can start to assess the other things. But for now, it's just been this, like, remarkable boxing match. Although, you know, I don't think these guys are at all hostile to each other. But it's just been, all right, on the judge's scorecard, are you ringing that like a 10-9 or, you know, 9-10 for the defending champion or whatever? And it's been really even. And I'll be upfront and say I'm on Team Jones all day long. I thought from last fall he would be the perfect guy for the Patriots. I wrote this. I said he's such a system fit. I don't care that he's got a dad bod at the age of 22, because the last great quarterback we had also looked like he had never seen the inside of a Planet Fitness in his life when they drafted him. And so far, it looks like you can just see Jones has this steep learning curve that he's climbing up that, like the mountain climber on The Price is Right. And, you know, I'm fascinated to watch it all play out.
Don't let him go over the cliff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're both good guys, and I love the dynamic going on. And right now, I just think it's absolutely the most fascinating thing that's happened in Boston sports since, I guess I don't want to rank it or classify it, because it's here and now, and the month of August is going to be utterly fascinating as we go forward.
So as we have, Jerry, just for another minute or two, Keith, you got a question?
Yeah, so you're talking about the Mac Jones situation down there. How are the crowds responding to him also? I heard that there was, you know, the first day he took over, but has that still continued with that crowd support down there?
Sure, but it goes in all directions. And you know what? Let's talk about the people in the Boston sports stations who tried to spin this dynamic as, oh, the crowds are down at the beginning of camp, the Tom Brady factor, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was called Wednesday and Thursday in monsoon season, you know? And once Friday hit and then Saturday, it's what we've come to expect. It is like standing room only. It's been like massive crowds, and they're pulling for all the guys. Like, you know, Jacoby Meyer, who obviously stepped up as an undrafted second-year player and, like, was the number one receiver last year, he's gotten tremendous applause. So has Newton. And it occurred to me that on Wednesday, it was the first time Newton had ever appeared before Patriots fans, except for the road games that they had last year, the few That's road right. games that had at body. Everybody is also engaged in how amazing this story is going to be. And, you know, let's all appreciate the fact that this is what we have to occupy ourselves with, because somewhere out there, there is a guy like me, only his job is to write about the Utah Jazz. And I don't know what that guy is going to do tomorrow, but I know what I'm going to be doing, which is to be fully locked in on what we're being able to witness.
Jerry, we're going to wrap up our segment here, but anything you want to say in closing as to your expectations, at least heading into the season for the Patriots?
Yeah, it's this. I like Cam Newton. I like everything he brings to the table, his attitude, what he had to overcome last year, how he got sick with COVID, he overcame it, what a good teammate he is. Everything about him except when he throws a football. You know, which is kind of a factor. Like, I've never once stepped on a 767 and said, you know, how's the pilot? You know, everybody loves him. He has nicknames for everyone at the airlines. Not so good at landing a plane. Like, not necessarily the guy you want to have at takeoff and landing, but a super nice guy. So, what I'm hoping for is that Jones takes over the job by week one, and we thank Cam Newton profusely for everything he's brought to the table, but ultimately we need a guy who can deliver the ball into the hands of a receiver.
Jerry, as always, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, it was my pleasure. It's been a while since we spoke. I hope we'll do it again soon.
You got it. There he is. Jerry Thornton, best-selling author, Six Rings. Gentlemen, we're a plumb out of time here, but if you want to go around the room here, early predictions for the Patriots. We'll start with my co-host, Amir Sullivan. What would you give for an early prediction? This is without any preseason.
I think they're going to shock a lot of people. I think they're going to have a deep run into the playoffs. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I think the tight ends, I think the quarterback's going to work itself out. I think it's going to be a fun season.
Keith Hayes.
I don't like to give a results, but I do think that this team, just like he said, I think they're going to shock the world. I think they're going to take back that AFC East title. I think that's coming this year.
Matt.
As much as I agree with Mr. Thornton that duck boat parades are better than yacht parades down in Tampa, six of those 12 titles were not won in the city of Boston. They were won in the city of Foxborough. So I'm sure the mayor would agree with me that Brockton is the deserving title of city of champions.
Yes, sir.
Well, the one thing we've learned in Tampa Bay is that tequila and Lombardi trophies do not mix.
Pats are going 11-6.
Okay. Well, that's all the show that we have. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank
you. Sitting in on the show and talking about so many different things.
Thank you.
Totally appreciate it, Keith. Thank you for popping
in. It's awesome to be sitting here with the mayor. I can't wait.
And Matt, for delivering not only the pizza, but also good words about the Patriots.
Always a pleasure.
Ben and your associate behind the glass, great evening. And that's all we got till next week at 6:15 p.m. Have yourself a great evening.